Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Now, you understand that not everything that goes on in our observance of this time of the year, if we could say it that way, at least appears on the surface to be all about Jesus. But I hope you understand that the fact that you have arrived this morning and you have come to this place of worship would be indicative of the fact that you have come to believe that it is all about Jesus. And let me give you a little clue. It's not just Christmas. It's not just what happens within these walls. It's not just what happens within people who are followers of Christ. Ultimately, all things, it's all about Him. And it's a good time for us to be reminded of that this morning. This morning we want to look at two other people who had angelic encounters. We look at the shepherds on the Judean hillside last week over in chapter 2 that had their rather ordinary night of sheep tending interrupted by first one angel and then a whole multitude of angels announcing the birth of Christ. I'm actually going to kind of rewind the chronology dial just a little bit and look at the lives of two women whose lives were rather disrupted by what God was about to do. We're going to find out what the angel announced to them, and we're going to find out that they were part of this story, and then we're going to see their lives intersect. But the thing we want to look at is the questions they were left with. If I were to ask you this morning, just what are the questions, the real deep, serious, very weighty questions that you have about life, and you could assemble your list, couldn't you? Sometimes there are questions that are produced by the difficult, painful things in life. And sometimes they are preceded by words like, "We regret to inform you that." Sometimes they're preceded by words like this, "The diagnosis is." Sometimes they are attached to the why questions of life. Why this? Why am I receiving this treatment? Or why can I not have that opportunity? Or sometimes they are just left with very deep questions, but not really satisfactory answers. As we think about the Christmas puzzle, and I've used that word puzzle because there's actually one in our family room. Our kids started it over Thanksgiving, and they did all the easy parts. Now it's all left is all those parts of the puzzle that are all the same color and all look alike. And so we'll get that done here in the next little while. I think that's a good metaphor for life. Sometimes our questions are, I just have this piece, this little thing right here. There's not much data on it. It's oddly shaped. And I'm trying to fit it in. I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm trying to fit it in. We're left with questions. Those puzzling things of life, those puzzling pieces of life, those questions that we are called to ask, really we need to understand this. Our questions are useful tools in God's hands. They're very useful tools in God's hands. The questions themselves are designed to accomplish something of God's development in our lives, because God can use even those puzzling points in our lives. If you look at verse 11 of chapter 1, we'll begin the story. And it actually, I told you it's two women, but it actually begins with one of their husbands. His name is Zechariah. He is a priest of God. At this particular moment, he is in Jerusalem doing his priestly duties. People outside, there's a whole multitude praying, waiting for him to exit the doors in the courtyard. And when they see him in the courtyard exit the holy place, there's going to be this grand swell of worship and this crescendo of praise to God. Luke chapter 1, verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. By the way, that's a constant in angelic encounters. He is scared to death. And then the angel begins to speak. And I told you last week, I think angels are incapable of small talk. Have you figured that out? There's no, "Hi, Zacharias, having a good day? How's it going with you? How's the family? Tell me about the family." He just immediately zips right to the story, right to the message that he is to deliver. He does say in verse 13, "The angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared from the Lord. And the angel doesn't, it doesn't say the angel said this, but I think he took a deep breath at that point. Okay, I've got it all out there. There's the whole story. You've prayed, God's heard your prayer, you're going to have a son, call his name John, fulfill these prophecies and do all these things that are mentioned. There it is, done. My day's work is done. Now, it doesn't say he did, but this is how I picture it. Could I ask one question? Zechariah said to him, "How shall I know this?" Because here's the problem. "For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. She is well past the time of normal childbearing for a woman." There's one thing that I don't get. How is this going to take place? And he gets a little bit in trouble with what he says in verse 18. "How shall I know this?" In other words, that's the way I say it. Are you going to prove this? Are you really going to come through with this? Well, he gets his answer. "And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings.'" By the way, we've also talked about angels. Sometimes I think they must think we are really dense. They must think we people just don't get it. You know, "I'm the angel that stands in the midst of God. God sent me to deliver this message, and now you want proof?" Verse 20, here's the sign. "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So for 9 months, he doesn't say another word. He can't speak. Later on in the text, you'll find out that when John is being named, suddenly his voice is returned to him. I know some of you are thinking that would be a real blessing, okay? He comes home from work, he can't talk. I could just see it bubbling up there. I thought I'd give it voice. Verse 21, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple." They didn't know he's having this angelic conversation in there. So when he finally comes out, it says, "So when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, he departed to his own house." Now, there's no text between verses 23 and 24. Do you notice that? But can you imagine? He finally walks through the door. "Hi, honey, how was your day at work?" I don't know if he wrote down what he told her. I just kind of picture they played charades for a while. How would you do this if you were Zacharias? You come home and you can't speak. You've just seen an angel. You're about ready to tell your 90-something-year-old wife she's going to have a baby. And he has to tell the story. "Well, you saw something? What did you see?" "You saw a bird. You saw a butterfly. You saw a moth. What did you see?" "You saw an angel." Got that. "Well, tell me, what did the angel tell you?" If you're listening on the radio, you won't get that joke. "The angel told you I'm fat? What? I don't get that." No, a baby? "The angel told you you're going to have a baby?" Now, you think about this. She's just minding her business, doing whatever she did in her little Judean household, and her husband comes home, can't speak, has seen an angel, and announces the message. Would you have some questions? Does this make any sense? I mean, did something snap, or did he really see this angelic vision? What's it all about? Well, here's the point. Sometimes we have just ordinary days, and sometimes we have those days when God just allows or causes something really unexpected, off the wall, and we're left with, what is that all about? We're left with questions. Remember now, they're useful tools in God's hands. The first part of this is this. There's three parts to this to help us understand how God uses these tools. First of all, questions should lead you to Jesus. That's where they're going in this story. It's all about Him. It's all about the Messiah coming. If you look back at verse 17, the last thing the angel said in the end of this verse, he says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God's on the way. God is coming. God is about to show up, and this little boy that's going to be born of your wife, this child that God is giving you in your old age, he's going to prepare people for the Messiah to come, for God to show up. That's his job. Now you think about this for just a moment. What is this all about? Could it really be true? Could it be us? The first part of this leading to Jesus we need to understand is that sometimes we have questions about God's purposes. Lord, what is it you're trying to do? What's the big picture? What is the goal you're trying to accomplish? And sometimes we face that in our life. Lord, I don't understand how whatever this is, this trauma or this joy or this opportunity or this decision or this blessing, whatever it is that's coming my way, Lord, I don't understand. What do you intend to accomplish with this? What are you doing with this? I think Zacharias and Elizabeth were fully in that category as they tried to process this and as they're trying to bring this all to pass. Here's the point. Somehow, some way, in the gracious hand of God, whatever the puzzling questions you have, those questions should push you back to Jesus and ask the question, Lord, what's your purpose here? And here's the thing that gives us hope. There always is a purpose. Even the evil and the bad, and you got to call evil evil and bad bad. It doesn't mean that God condones it or God's the cause of it, but I do know this. God can even take bad stuff and in his grace make good stuff, good results out of it. That's the kind of God you and I serve. So, Lord, what are your purpose? You have to understand. You have to plug in. There's a purpose. Here we see it behind the scenes. His purpose was to deliver his Savior, the Savior to the world, deliver his Son to the world, that God was going to come, that God was going to come. Secondly, we have questions sometimes about God's plans, about God's plans. Like, okay, I understand you're trying to do this big picture thing of bringing your Savior to the world. I know in my life you're trying to do this big picture thing to make me more like Christ, to help me be useful in your kingdom, to help us accomplish of reaching people with the gospel and seeing people's lives transformed with the Word of God. Well, I understand that, but what about the specifics of that? What about the plan that you're unfolding? Skip down to verse 26 in this same chapter. We're going to look at the next lady in the story, and then a little bit later we'll see their lives intersect. But Gabriel had another mission 6 months later. Verse 26. Now in the 6th month, and that means the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So there's all the characters, all the people involved. And having come in, again, no small talk, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, absolutely, and considered what manner of greeting this was. So she said, standing there, whatever the scene was, whatever the setting, whatever the day, just trying to process this. She's frightened, and the angel just goes right ahead, okay? And the angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." There's what it's all about. There's where we're heading. That's the point of it all. He is the point of it all. It is all about Jesus. By the way, the name Jesus that you see in the text, by the way, Jesus was not the only person named Jesus. It was a not uncommon name in their day. There were other people, other young Jewish boys that were named that. It literally means God saves, or Jehovah saves, or Yahweh saves, however you want to say it. It could also be stated this way, that he saves, or Jehovah's salvation, God's salvation. It's interesting that the angel informs them the name that Mary and Joseph are to call God's son is the name that just encapsulates what is his purpose. His purpose is this: he's to come to save. He is God's salvation embodied in this person, and there is no other Savior. He is it. But fortunately, he has been delivered, and he has come. Verse 32, "And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." By the way, the next time we'll be a week from Wednesday, but that's our Wednesday evening adult Bible study. We're doing a study entitled a gift fit for a king. And did you know that God the Father has promised a gift to God the Son? And it's a text that tracks all the way through Scripture. And by the way, we're going to be back in Luke chapter 2 the next time we're in that study, in those two verses I just read. So you have to come back to get that. We're going to move on. Verse 34. "Then Mary said to the angel," I don't know if she raised her hand or not, but wait a minute. There's just one little... It seems like, Lord, you left something out. There's something that seems to be missing here. And she asked the question in verse 34, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" I mean, we all understand it takes a mother, it takes a father to have a baby. We understand how that's a necessity. And she says, "Lord, it seems like..." In essence, you left something out. How can this be? Here's the questions about God's plans. Lord, I understand you have a purpose. I understand you're bringing a son into the world. I understand what you've said about him being the Messiah, but I don't understand how this plan works. It seems like you have left something out. Does it ever seem like something's been left out in the plan for your life? Lord, if you just hadn't left out, you know, some resources I need. Lord, if you just give me a little more money, life would be better. Or Lord, if you'd give me a little more talent, a little more ability. Or Lord, if you'd given me some more opportunity than what I have, I think things would be better. It just seems like, Lord, maybe you left that out. Or maybe the opposite is true. Lord, I wish you'd have left some things out. I wish you'd have left some of the hurtful things out. I wish you'd have left some of the difficult things out. And for some of us, those difficult things occurred in our families. And some of those occurs at school. And some of those occurs on the job or in our neighborhoods or in the struggle to do our business or to fulfill our careers. Or some of the struggle is the struggle that goes with age and the struggles that with health and health issues and accidents that happen in our lives and setbacks. Lord, I don't see how this all fits together. I don't get your plan. The angel's answer is going to be informative to us. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who was born will be called the Son of God." God Himself is going to curl up and crawl into the human condition. He is going to become enfleshed, incarnate, we call it in doctrinal terms. God is going to come. And he says two things in verse 35 that are important. First of all, he talks about the person of God and the person of the Holy Spirit. Can't figure out the plans of God? Maybe it's not the intention that we're supposed to figure out his plans. But here's where we're drawn as we come into this communion with our Lord, that we are come to this point to understand that it is God doing what God is doing, the person. You also see the power of God in that verse. And the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. And so forth. And your conception is going to be by the power and through the person of the Holy Spirit. So that a virgin really is going to conceive and give birth to God's Son. So that he will be called not only the Son of Man, which he was, but in this case, the Son of God because of this miraculous intervention in the normal scheme of things. Here's what you need to remember. Lord, it seems like you left something out. It seems like you put something in that should have been left out. I can't figure out all the plans of life. Here's what you need to know. God is God, and His power is sufficient. Well, I still don't understand. That's all you need to know. Did you hear me? That's all you really need to know. God is God, and His power is sufficient. Because you see, sometimes the questions aren't really answerable. Sometimes there is no neat little package where it all fits in the puzzle and it all makes sense. But here's what always makes sense, that we can trust God in spite of our inability to figure it all out, because God is God and God is all powerful. And His powerful has been made available to you, and it started when God sent a son to be born of a virgin, this one that we know as Mary. So we have questions about His plans. We have questions about His purposes. Those plans, those purpose questions are all to take us back and to drive us back and to bring us back and to pull us back so that we would encounter Christ. There's a second aspect of this, and that is this. Questions not only allow us to come to Jesus and interact with Him, but questions allow you to find joy in Jesus as well. To find joy. This story is all marked with joy from this point forward. I want you to look at verse 36, because the interaction between the two actually begins with what the angel says in verse 36. And he says, I quote, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Remember Elizabeth? You know about her pregnancy. You know she's an old woman past childbearing years. There's some miracle for you. There's some power of God for you. There's some the person of God for you. And we know that very soon Mary is going to go and spend some time, the last 3 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, until John is delivered, Mary is with Elizabeth. Verse 37. You want a verse done? If you're a verse underliner person in your Bible, this would be a good one to underline, okay? "For with God, nothing will be impossible." There's what you need to know. And when you know that, it starts to unlock joy. It starts to unlock joy. And verse 39, or verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold, the maid serving the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So off she goes. Look what happens in the next verse. And it happened, verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." You see, this joy starts, first of all, comes from knowing him personally. Rejoice that you can know him personally. There's a verse found near the end of Psalm 16 that says this: "In your presence is the fullness of joy." You want joy? You want joy? Be in the presence of Christ. Be in the presence of our Lord. Find him sufficient and you will. I mean, this is not the kind of, you know, off to Las Vegas for a weekend and live it up and then come back and you have to deal with work and however much money you'd left there. It's not the fake, artificial, generated, happy, good times that is available to us. But this is the deep, abiding satisfaction and joy and contentment in life, knowing that we are connected and united with our Savior. And he has provided for us for time and for eternity. And we are showered over by his love. And we have his acceptance. And we are the recipients of his grace. And we are the beneficiaries of his mercy. And we have access to his power. Rejoice that you know him personally. And here you have these two pregnant women. And as when Mary comes in and speaks, John reacts. And remember, the angel said he'd be filled from the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And here's the proof positive of it. He reacts in joy. Why? Because he's in the presence of the Savior. Elizabeth reacts in joy in her speech. Why? Because she's in the presence of the Savior. In just a little bit, down to verse 46, Mary is going to break out in song or a poem. That this wonderful testimony, she's full of joy. Why? Because she's in the presence of the Lord. In your presence is the fullness of joy. You want joy? You spend some time with the Lord. It's real simple. Brush away everything. Push aside everything. Get the deck cleared for a while and pull aside and just spend some unique quality time with your Lord through the Word and through prayer. Make it a two-way communication. Him through the Word and you through prayer and spend time with him. That's where joy is. Not only should we rejoice that we know him personally, but we can also rejoice that you are part of his program. Look what happens. We don't have time to go through all of this section, but verse 45, Elizabeth still speaking says, "Blessed is she who believed, and there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Elizabeth looks at Mary right in the eye and says, "You're blessed of women." Why? Because you believed. And the things that God has told you, they're going to come to pass. They're going to take place. And you are part of his program. Now, I'm sure Mary was shocked when the angel showed up and said, "You're going to deliver the Messiah. You're going to deliver God." We also understand that Elizabeth was shocked when her husband came home. But God had something very good that he was doing, and he had a program, and they fit perfectly into that program. Sometimes our questions are about us. "Lord, I don't seem to fit. I really don't get where I fit in your program. I'm just me. I know the things I'm not good at. I know the other people, they're really good at some things that I wish I was good at. And I just sometimes think I'm rather insignificant in your whole program. Lord, if I wasn't part of whatever's going on, I don't even think I'd be missed. I think things would go on fine without me." Don't succumb to that line of thinking. Because God has uniquely handcrafted you to be the person you are. Not only has he handcrafted you to be the person that you are, he has chosen and or allowed at least the circumstances and the experience of life to mold you into the persons you are now. You're not perfect, neither am I. We are works in progress. We have a long way to go. We still need to grow much, much, and we will continue to grow until ultimately we're like him only when we see him as he is, when we're on the other side in his presence and glory. But you have a unique spot and role to play in God's program. Don't ever, ever, ever allow yourself to think that you are unimportant in God's program. It may not be the flashiest thing. It may not be the biggest thing. It may not be the most celebrated thing. But God, there are no insignificant people in God's work. There are no expendable people in God's work. There are no people that are unneeded in God's work. You're part of his prayer. And rejoice in that. That God, you would use me. That you would use me. Verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." She is just full of joy and rejoicing because she knows in the providence of God, in the plan of God, in the program of God, that he is using her in a unique way. It should bring joy to our hearts. It should lighten our steps. It should lessen our burden when we understand that God really can use you and he can use me for his glory. Find joy in that. Find joy in that. I would encourage you to read through 46 through 56 when you have the opportunity. It's a beautiful statement and testimony of confidence and faith in the Lord. She talks about how God has saved and chosen and regarded his people. She talks about the mercy and the strength and the provision of God. She talks about the promises of God. It's a beautiful thing. We don't have time to look at it in detail, but understand that it is just an expression of joy. It's a question of joy. Well, these questions that we have in life should lead you to Jesus, and they should allow us to find joy in Jesus, but let's just add one more if we can. Go back, if you will, to verse 45 for just a second. We've already read it, but I want you to look at it again. It said, "Blessed is she who believed." Blessed is she who believed. You see, questions bring you to belief in Jesus as well. Why all these questions? Why is life so puzzling and so full of questions? Sometimes the question is to bring you to Jesus, to bring you to find joy in Jesus, and to bring you to the point of belief in Jesus. Mary believed in the Lord. If you go back up the page to verse 36, verse 38, when Mary said, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And then the angel departed from her." She basically says, "Lord, I believe, I accept." You see, understand this. Belief allows God access to your life. Belief allows God access to your life. God is not going to ever break down the door and force himself on anyone. From the human side of the equation, people are always called to believe. They're called to believe. That's the reason in 45 that Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you." Why? Because you believed. That you believed. God allows access into your life. But oftentimes, from the human point of view, man seems to, "No, Lord, I want to keep that door shut." God's not going to break down the door. You have to open it through belief. And oftentimes, unfortunately, it doesn't come until the time of crisis, when we have a crisis in life or we have questions in life, that sometimes then we get around to thinking, "I really should believe. I should maybe open this door." Do you believe? God is wanting to invade your life. He's wanting to change your life. But if you're struggling with that, just understand, you need to just believe and open up your heart to him.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6:30 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.